All right, today we're going to jump right into the conclusion of this series we've been doing all this semester. This has been 10 weeks we've been studying on this thought of our identity, my identity in Christ. It's so important, as we said early on, that we know who we are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the world's going to tell you who you are. So you got to know who you are in Christ. We have enough Christian chameleons living around with just trying to blend in with their environment. We have some Christians that work they live one way, and at home they live another, and at school they live one way, with their friends they live another, and at church they live one way. And what happens is we let our environments affect us, and we let our environments dictate to us and tell us who we are in God. And when that happens, you're in trouble. See, the mature Christian learns to say, God, who do you say I am? And that's who I'm going to walk as. That's who I'm going to walk in. And that's my true identity. And I don't let the negativity, I don't let other people speak and bring me down, but I see myself as a child of God. I see myself as royalty. I see myself as forgiven. I see myself as flooded with grace. I see myself today walking as more than an overcomer. I see myself as a child of the King. And we see these things happening, and more than a conqueror, we see all these things unfolding. We're seeing different sides of who we are in Christ. Now, last week we talked about, we said the thought that I am next level. Now, today we're going to talk about who are we as we end this. We're going to go back to the question, who are we? Last week we talked about I am next level. Let's go ahead and bring that chart up. We talked about that in our growth, that many times as Christians we see ourselves going from level to level. And I preached that and even illustrate that. We talked about our faith growing from level to level. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we go from level to level, and I am next level because God expects us to go to the next level. My first level is I'm learning to be fed. Being fed is a good thing. How many think food is a great thing? How many think food's a good thing? Landon, do you think food's a good thing? Yesterday he got to go to an all-you-can-eat Chick-fil-A, and he thought he was in heaven. Food is a good thing. Some of you are like, where's that at? It's in Sooner country, baby. If you ain't a Sooner fan, that's why. Okay, anyway. Being fed is a good thing. But how many know it's even better when you learn to feed yourself? Now, that's a real good thing. When you don't have to wait on somebody to make you a sandwich, you learn how to feed yourself. You learn how to cook. And you learn how to, that's even better. But that's the place, I think, for many of us as Christians, we get stuck. But the real going to the next level is when you learn to feed others. That you take that and feed others. And you notice how the levels are going down. Because the scripture teaches us, Jesus taught us that if anyone would deny himself, we lose ourselves. We die to ourselves. For him, we find ourselves. We deny ourselves. We lose ourselves for the kingdom. We find ourselves in God. We made the statement last week that we level down so that God can level up. You see, if I want to level up in the kingdom, I learned to level down. It's not about me. It's about others. I don't think less of myself, because that's what this whole identity series is about. I don't think less of myself, but it's learning to think of myself less and think about others. God, how can I help others? God, how can I be a light to others? God, how can I serve others? How can I help feed others? Now, today we're going to answer this question, who are we? Who are we? You got your pens and papers ready, because I'm going to give you the answer. We're going to answer it right here at the very beginning. I'm going to answer this question for you. Who are we? This is deep, theological. I don't want you to miss it, so I want you to write it down so you don't lose it. Let's answer the question, who are we? We are the church. This is who we are. We are the church. The church is not about a building. It's about people. Let me say again, the church is not about a building, it's about people. We make up the church. When we leave here, the church doesn't stay here, the church goes out those doors. We are the church. We belong to the body of Christ. And so we have got to learn that the church is not about a building, the church is about us. We are the church. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus made this statement. He says, I am the gate. Whoever comes, enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out. They will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come they may have life and have it to the full. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. And Jesus made it very simple for us that as the church, we are to communicate the good news of the gospel. What is that good news? Jesus made it simple right here. The good news is this. Number one, how do we take this good news that Jesus came to bring? He came to bring salvation, right? That's what he says. Anyone through me can be saved. Jesus brings salvation. Jesus brings protection. He says, I am the gate. Gate signifies fortitude. He is bringing us to a place of shelter, a place of protection. Remember during this time that the gates represented the gates of the city. They would lock the gates to keep the enemy out. It's a place of protection. He brings salvation. He brings protection. He says, I will take you to pasture, man. He was saying, I'm going to provide for you. I am provision. And then he said, you're going to experience life to the fullest, man, to the full. We can understand that because we just came out of a week of being full. Anybody else eat turkey and pie and dressing and casserole until you were full, until you didn't want to have any more? You waited for dinner, you waited for lunch, you waited for breakfast for a couple of days all weekend long, and it's good. But man, we had way too much, didn't we? But why? We had it to the full, to the full. It was overwhelming, really, wasn't it? It was embarrassing how much we had when you really think about it compared to around the world. It's embarrassing how much we ate and how much we had to consume. Because we had it to the fullest, it was more than enough. That's what Jesus says. When I come in, I'll give your life that overwhelming much that you'll have more than what you need. You will have an abundance. It will overflow out of your life. I want to bring your life to the fullest, an abundance to your life. This is the good news. And we have been given the task as Christians, as the church, of taking the good news of the gospel. This is our responsibility. We are the church. We must reach our city. We must reach our region, our county. We must reach the four-state area. We're called to reach people with the love of God. This is our assignment. This is our task. This is our identity as Christians. That God has embraced us with this call. We're carriers of the good news. We got to hold to God's standard. But loving people along the way. You see, there's a move out there now. There's two moves moving in the kingdom of God. We see really predominant. We have people who say, I'm trying to raise the standard of God. And anybody who doesn't believe in this standard, we reject, we treat awful. You're going to hell, get away from me. I'm holy, I'm holding God's standard. And we got other people who are trying to love people, and so they're watering down, lowering God's standard in an attempt to reach people with the love of God. And both of those are wrong. What we got to do is say, you know what? I'm holding to the standard. I'm holding to what Scripture says. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This will not change. God's standard doesn't change by who's in the White House, who's in Congress, who's in the Supreme Court. It doesn't make a difference. Those leaders will come and they will go. They will die and they'll be born and they'll live, be revoted, reappointed. Those things will change. Seasons of leadership will change. But what doesn't change is God's word is the standard for the body of Christ, for his church. And we hold true to that. But we do it with love. I don't use God's standard to beat somebody up. I don't use God's standard to make somebody feel bad. I use God's standard to love them. I use God's standard to challenge them. And so I'm called to, if you don't like God's standard, that's okay. I'm going to love you anyway. If you're not living your life up to God's standard, that's okay. I'm going to love you anyway. It's okay. It's okay because I'm going to love you. I don't water down God's standard. I keep his standard straight. But I also, man, I'm loving people. And I'm loving people that nobody else wants to love. We want to love people that other churches wouldn't love. We want to love people that society has rejected. We want to love people that feel like they've blown it. We want to love people that feel rejected. We want to love people that have been abused and have been hurt. We want to love these people. This is our call to bring the good news that there's a new life. There's a way. This is our call. We are the church. It's our job to be his hands and feet at our workplace, at our school, at our neighborhood, in our family. This is our job. This is our identity. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Jesus says, and I tell you this. Now, remember, now Peter has just answered the question that nobody else is getting right. Who do you say I am? And Peter says, man, you're the Son of God. Peter gets this revelation. You really are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And look at Jesus' response. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. He says it right here. I will build my church. That's us, man. on this what? On this foundation that you are the Messiah, that you've come to bring the good news. You've come to transform lives. On this revelation, I will build my church. And what? And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have been given the keys to our city. This is our identity. God has given us the keys to the kingdom of our city. This is what he's given us. This is what he's wanting us to operate in. We have been given keys to our city. We've been given keys to the kingdom. We have been given keys to the hurting. We've been given keys to those that have blown it. We've been given keys to those that have been rejected. We've been given keys to those that have been abused. We've been given keys to those who are hurting in ways, who have failed. We've been given keys to bringing back the kingdom of God to those who are dying and going to hell. We've been given the keys of the kingdom. We have been given these keys. It's our identity. It's time for us to stand up as a church who God has called us to be and say, I'm going to take hold of these keys. I got the keys to the kingdom. I walk around as the agents of God. I walk around. I'm the church. It's not the building. I'm the church. And when I leave here, I've got to be the church. I've got to be his agent. So how do we do this? What is it? What's our mission as the church? Let me give it to you. What's our mission as a church? Our mission is to bring the kingdom of heaven, to bring the kingdom of heaven to our region. That's our mission, is to bring the kingdom of heaven to our region that we live in. How do we do this? Let's talk about it. Number one, we do this to evangelize. We've got to teach you that, you know what? We're called to evangelize. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an evangelist. Now look at him with your best TBN voice you can and say, I'm an evangelist, amen? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? It's not about having a three-piece suit and slicked hair and talking really funny. That's not what I'm talking about, being an evangelist, okay? What I'm talking about is this, that we are carriers of the good news. That's an evangelist. Carriers of the good news of the gospel. This is who we are. And he's called us to be carriers of the good news, to evangelize. This is us, our family. We're called to carry the good news to our coworkers. We're called to carry the good news to our family. We're called to carry the good news to our friends. We are carriers of the good news. This is what God has called you and I. This is my identity. I'm an evangelist. I'm called to evangelize. This is what I'm called to do. We're called to disciple. Our mission is not only to evangelize, but number two is to disciple. We're called to disciple. Look what Matthew 28 says. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We got that part, okay? We know, all right? God, we want people to get saved. We want to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But he says, and, okay? And. Don't forget this. This is important. Our responsibility as the church is to teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. See, it's our job to teach people the commands of Christ. It's our job to teach people what Jesus has commanded them. That's what he said. And I think, well, Pastor, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know everything Jesus said. How am I supposed to know this? Well, Jesus was so much ahead of us, okay? And he knew this was going to come up as a question. So he answered the question when he was asked, what's the greatest commands to keep? He said, let me just make it very easy for you. Learn to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. I mean, he said, basically what he said was this, you love God with everything. Just learn to love God with everything within you. Learn to love God. This is the command. Learn to fall in love with God. Learn to fall in love with God. Love him with your mind, your heart, your soul, everything within you. Let it love God. He goes, and then learn to love your neighbor as yourself. So my command is this, as a discipler, I'm going to evangelize people. I'm going to carry the good news. And then I'm also called to what? To teach people to love God. I'm called to teach people how to love God. That, man, you can fall in love with God. That God is here for you. He's not the big God in the sky that has no relationship, but he wants to have a personal relationship with you. You can have the personal relationship I have with God, and you can have it too. It's what God's called us to teach them, and you teach people how to love other people. This is what we're called to do. This is what he's commanded us to do. See, when you teach people how to be a good spouse, When you teach people how to be a good parent, a good son and daughter, how to be good at your job, how to work your job as unto the Lord. When you teach people how to leave bondage, when you teach people how to walk in spiritual authority, when you teach people who they are in God, when you teach people how to raise their faith, when you teach people how to go all in, when you teach people how to break bad habits, when you teach people how to walk in the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? We're teaching people, we're discipling. We're discipling, and this is what we're called to do. We teach them. We teach people how to love God. Teach people how to love their neighbor. And then he says, we also learn how to prepare. To prepare. Our mission as a church is to evangelize, to disciple, and to prepare. Look what Paul said to us in Ephesians chapter 4. He made it clear, and it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, right? Why? To prepare God's people. That's us, the church. Prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness, this whole fullness thing there, life to the fullness of Christ, okay? So he has called us to have evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors. Why? For the equipping, the teaching of the saints to go out, prepare them to do works of service, to do works of ministry. This is what the church is called to do, ministry. Oh, pastor, that's your job. No. The pastor's job is to equip the people to do the work of the ministry. We got it wrong here. And we think of this professionalism and, you know, we hire a pastor to do all the work in the ministry. No, the pastor is called and the pastors are called to teach and to train and to bring up people to challenge them, prepare them to do works of the body, to do works in the ministry. This is our mission. We evangelize, we disciple, and we prepare people. We want to prepare you how to love. We want to prepare you how to grow in your faith. We want to prepare you to walk in your identity. We want to prepare you to say, God, I'm ready to go all in. God, I'm ready. We're preparing you to go out and say, you know, God, I'm ready to love on somebody. I'm ready to go out and treat my neighbors myself. I'm ready to go out and tell people the goodness of God in my life. We're called to evangelize. What I didn't say was this. We're called to go out and be weird. You know, you didn't hear me say that. You didn't hear me. We're called to go out and be weird, okay? We're called to go out and to evangelize, to teach people how to love God and to teach people how to love others. This is what we're called to do, called to bring people. So how are we going to do that? So what's our method behind the mission? Well, let me give you our method here at Destiny. Our method number one is to experience God, to experience God. We want people, when they come into this house, we want them to come in, this house of worship, to come in and say, you know what? Man, God's in the house. God's presence is in the house. Let me tell you this. If God's presence isn't here, I don't want to be here. If God's presence isn't here, we're just wasting our time. It's about the presence of God. We usher in the presence of God. We bring the presence of God. We come in and we soak in the presence of God. We worship and praise. We learn. It's about the presence of God. And so we want people to experience God. We have people all the time that come to Destiny or like, they come from a very, maybe a different church background, like a lot of you come in, and the first you're like, wow, this is really different than what I'm used to, Pastor. And they walk out, this is really, really different, but I can tell you this. I don't know what just happened, but I felt God. Anybody had that experience here before? Okay, so many, you don't talk about it. It was really, really a stretch for me to come. I didn't understand everything, but one thing I could not deny was that I felt God's presence here. Felt the presence of God. And that's what we got to have. We got to build it up. That's why it's your responsibility to bring God's presence. Look what it says here in the scripture. Exodus 33:13-14. He says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. How many think that'll be our prayer, huh? Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied to him, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Listen, we want God's presence to be here. And we want you to leave and you be a carrier of God's presence. We want God's presence to go with you. And so that's why it's important when you come in, if you don't know who you are in God, you'll come in and be like, man, I had a horrible week. man, I messed up this week and did this, made this mistake, and I had this problem, this struggle. And then we come in, I don't want to worship because I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. So the more we show you about the grace of God, the more we show you about the righteousness of God, how he makes us in right standing, the more we see ourselves and the identity that God sees us, that when he looks at me and sees Jesus. And when Jesus looks at us, he sees himself, because we have been accounted to us all his righteousness. The more I learn my true identity in him, the more I can come into the presence of God and be like, I can approach you boldly, not because of who I am, but because of who you made me to be. Not because of what I did this week, because God, who you've made me to be. And I walk in boldly in the presence of God and say, God, I want your presence. And I worship. And this person over here begins to worship God. And Jim worships God. And he begins to raise his hands. And pretty soon that encourages Steve. He's like, man, Jim's worshiping God. I want to worship God too. And he looks at him. And all of a sudden, Darren and Crystal are like, man, look at Steve doing it here. And Travis is like, well, look at them doing it. They're doing it here. And this section over here, they're doing it. All of a sudden, it's like a chain reaction. People are feeling the presence of God flood the room, and people are reaching out in faith, and you're encouraging somebody else you don't even know. You don't even know the people behind you that are encouraged when you lift your hands. You don't even know the people around you that are encouraged when you enter into the presence of God. You're helping ushering in the strong presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because without it, we're nothing. Without it, we're a Christian social club, and we don't need any more of those. We need a place where people can come in, get their hands laid on, and say, I need healing, man. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I have failed. I've done this. My marriage is on the rocks. I need healing. I'm living in my life, and I'm destroying myself. I need help. I've been rejected. I've blown it. And we can say, welcome to the club. Come on in. You feel really good here. And we're going to show you how God can change your life. I'm looking for the perfect church. Then keep on going down the road, because you ain't going to find it. See, we are called to bring the presence of God. And you help bring that in. You help usher that in. Without it, we're nothing. We want to be his presence, to be here. That's who we are at Destiny. We want that to happen. We want God's presence to be here. Number two, it's important that we realize this, that we find community. Just as important in the New Testament church is about finding community. Look what we see in Acts chapter 2, this is what the New Testament church did. Look what happened, how they worshiped. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs. Well, the God of miracles, miraculous signs were happening by the apostles in the midst of all these people. And look what it says, all the believers. That's the church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They even broke bread in their homes. I mean, look at this. I mean, I had people say, wow, Pastor, you're opening up these connect groups of so many people. Some of them are like really like strong spiritual groups with deep Bible studies, and they do a lot of prayer. And others of them I don't know about, because they're kind of like, you know, this kind of like common things of interest. They're getting together with this interest and just kind of supporting, building a relationship. Is that really biblical? Look right here. This is what the New Testament did. They prayed together. They worshiped together. They ate together. And they also did things of common interest together. They also did life together, because it built strength. When you do life together, you're like, man, I can talk about my life, what's going on. I can talk about my struggles. I can talk about my weaknesses. I can talk about the things I'm going through in my life. I can talk about the things I face. I can talk about the things I'm going through. I can talk about these things. And all these things are happening. It become common interest. And so it's important. We have a variety of places for people to get connected. For those who want that discipleship deeper, they have it. For those who want that prayer, they got it. For those who want to build relationships, they have it. This is why, listen, this is why we have people who are around the world today, especially here in America, especially too, it's happening, people who will follow things like Scientology, occults, false doctrine. Why? Because they just want to belong. It's in our DNA. They want to belong. And they want to belong so much that they'll follow something that's false, that has no presence of God. But they're offering them community. They're offering them love and support. And people will follow after a false God, a false hope, all because somebody showed them the commonplace. Because somebody opened up their home and broke bread with them. How much more do we have when we had not only the place of opening up and being having a common place to meet and say, man, I'll open up my home. Man, you come in and eat bread in my home. You can come in, man. You can have fellowship. We can get together and do common things. We can belong. We can create community. Why? Because I've got the presence of God that is life-changing. See, they go hand in hand. We've got to have both. We need both. So we will continue to encourage you to get in line, get involved in community groups, connect groups. Get involved in those things. I know this month they start slowing down. We have a few more doing some Christmas gatherings, I think, tonight, and some others coming to an end. But at the first of the year, we'll have new ones starting. And we're not going to back away from that. I hope we have more. I hope we have all kinds of interest groups. Some people who want to serve. Some people who want to get together and just pray together. Some who want to do a deep Bible study. And some are going to get together and just support each other and do something fun and build relationship. Because some people just need a place to go and belong. For somebody who can look across the table and say, I love you. I understand you. I accept you for who you are. And then we can use that for a tool to bring them into the kingdom of God. We don't stop there. It's just a tool to bring them into the kingdom of God. So how do we do this? We experience God. We find community. And then we fulfill our purpose, our call. It's our call. We got to fulfill our purpose, our call. Look what Paul told us in 2 Timothy 1:8. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Now, I ask you here today, some of you, if I were really being honest, I say, how many of you, if you had to go tomorrow to your work or to your school, to your team, to your neighborhood, your family, you had to testify, would you be embarrassed? Some of you were like, I don't know if I'm really embarrassed, but man, I would really be timid. I'd really be shy about doing it. And this is what he was telling us. Hey, don't be shy about it. Don't be embarrassed. You've got the presence of God. You've got the best thing out there. It's called the good news of the gospel. Testify about our Lord. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid to testify about our Lord. Don't be ashamed. He said, don't be afraid to testify. He didn't say, don't be afraid to go out and act stupid and weird. You're not going to go out in the corner holding up signs and waving the megaphones and yelling at people about all the wrong they're doing. That's not going to reach anybody. He said, that's not going to reach anybody. That's what we're talking about here. He's not talking about that. He said, he didn't say go out and be stupid and weird. What he said was this, don't be ashamed to testify. Don't be ashamed tomorrow at work to say, you know what God's done to me? God's been so good. Don't be ashamed when you're in school to say, you know what? God's changing my life. I don't know what it is, but man, we prayed for this girl at church and I felt the power of God there. It was pretty awesome. You got to come to see it, man. Don't be ashamed to say, you know what? God, you've done this in my life. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the power of God, to testify of God's power in your life. It's our call. Embrace it. He said, don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner, but join with me in the suffering. See, it didn't say it was all the great stuff. Also join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. We are called. This is our part. We embrace our call. So we want you to learn to embrace your call. We come in, we experience God. We want you to find community within the house of the Lord with fellow believers. And then we want you to go out, fulfill, embrace your call, fulfill your purpose. I'm an evangelist. Man, I'm a discipler. This is who I am. I evangelize. I disciple. I bring healing to people. I share the good news of the gospel. That's who God's called me to be and you to be. Today I want to close. I'm going to ask musicians to come. So how do we do this? What's our part? How do we do this? We be the church. Turn to them and say, be the church. Be the church. Don't be a building. Be the church. What's the church? This revelation that Jesus, you are the Messiah. The church, this revelation that he has given us the kingdom to our region. He's given us the keys to our city, to our county. Embrace your call. Give. Give your time, your talent, your resources to the Lord. God, everything I have belongs to you. And receive. Receive the healing God wants to bring to you. Receive the freedom. Receive the spiritual authority. Receive your identity. Receive community. Quit. I've been hurt, Pastor, and I've gotten close before, and I just decided I was not going to get close to anybody before. No, come in. Receive community. Receive it. This is our identity as a church. This is our identity as the body of Christ. This is who we are. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Let me just ask you this question before we go any further. Anybody here today say, Pastor, you're talking, and before I do anything today, I just need to admit that I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to accept Him. I want to make Him Lord of my life. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. Nobody's looking but me, but I want to give you a chance to respond. If you say, Pastor, today's my day. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? If you haven't raised it, raise it higher. I can see it right now. Thank you. I see those hands in the back as well. Thank you. You want to be a part of this thing called the church. Thanks, guys. See, God's doing something in the house this morning. So people, God's got you here. Experience His presence. He's calling you. He's calling you into something greater than yourself. Sir, God's calling you to something greater than yourself. We're going to say this prayer. We're going to say this prayer. And I want those who raised your hands, I want you to say it out loud with me. As Christians around you, we're going to say it out loud with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to You. I give You all of my sin. I give You all of my life. I accept Your grace, Your forgiveness. I believe You are the Messiah, God's only Son. I believe You died on the cross. You rose from the dead. And from this day forward, I will live my life following after You. I'm tired of living my own life. I'm going to follow after You. From this day forward, I will follow You. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give a hand. Man, this is a big deal. This is what I want you to do now. I want you to stand on your feet. How many today, let's look at me straight in the eye and say, Pastor, man, I just realized today, I got to start being the church in a greater way. I got to start being the church when I leave this building. Anybody here challenge? That's me. You ready to leave this place, be the church that God has called us to be? I want to bring the presence of God. When we come together, I'm bringing the presence. And when we leave here, I'm going to be the church to my community. I'm going to bring the keys of the kingdom. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to say, you know what? I want to step out into my identity as a church. I'm going to invite you to stand. Now I want to invite you to come to the front as we close out this series and say, I'm stepping into my true identity. We're going to close this course. Pastor TJ, bring it.
Our God reigns forever, Your kingdom reigns. Our God reigns, our God reigns forever, Your kingdom reigns.
Lift our hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, as we leave here today, I pray to Father, this concept of being the church will be more than just wrapped around what goes on in the building. But God, it would enwrap and tangle within us our identity that we are the church. And upon this promise, upon this rock, the gates of hell will not prevail. That You have given us the keys to the kingdom. You've given us keys to our schools. You've given us keys to our family. You've given us keys to our workplace. You've given us keys to our community. And I pray right now that we would rise up, walk in faith, knowing that God, You have empowered us to be Your witness, to teach others to love You and to love our neighbor. God, I pray that we would leave here being the church. We would leave here taking the gospel. Every day we are the church. And we say yes. And we say yes. And we say yes, and we say yes, and we say yes. Use us, God. Use us, God, to transform a community. Use us, God. Use us, God.
Use us, God, to make a life-changing impact on this region. Use us, guys, with the keys of the kingdom. And we say yes and amen. If you believe that, put your hands together. Come on, give me a shout of praise. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is so good. Leave here. Be in the church. God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We love you so much. Amen.